Hello there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, January 24th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me. Listen. Another amazing podcast in the Erotic Mind series is coming at you today as I welcome an internationally renowned artist. He is a superb photographer, but he's also the master of several other media, including oil, pastel, watercolor, and acrylic. My guest is none other than the Barcelona-born and raised Chris Lopez. And wait until you get a load of his dreamy accent. You know, every artist I interview for this series has something distinctive to reveal about the creative process involved in making erotic art. And Chris is no exception. We join him at his Fort Lauderdale studio where this creative genius is hard at work. And to spice things up, Chris has generously compiled a luscious slideshow of some of his outstanding artwork. It accompanies today's posting of this podcast on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. You won't want to miss this, sex fans. For more of Chris, be sure to visit him on his site, lopezgallery.com, and don't miss his blog at artinyourlifestyle.blogspot.com. And, of course, you can find him on Facebook, too. Today's podcast is brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick's Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll surely enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun, and I might add, easy. Yesiree sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You will be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Chris, and thank you for joining us for this Erotic Mind podcast. You're such a huge talent, and I've been dying to get a piece of you for ages. Boy, that sounds dirty, and that's exactly how I hoped it would sound. So now that you're here, would you like to say hello to our audience?
Well, thanks, Richard, for this interview. Thank you for having me, and thank you to all the people that they can be listeners and they could be interested in this interview. And thank you for your interest in my artwork. So you don't need to die, so you need to go to my website.
That is so true. By the way, I absolutely love your accent. You sound so romantique.
Well, thank you. For me, something sounds very terrible, but I'm going to do my best. And okay. I apologize for this accent and probably some mistakes. I'm living here for 10 years and still my English is, I think, terrible, but I'm going to try to do my best.
Alrighty
but
then.
My apologize if it's... people be kind of annoying my accent.
Well, I'm sure that we'll be able to live with it. So, as you know, I've been spending a great deal of time on your website, lopezgallery.com. It's so unique and chock full of fascinating information and gorgeous images. I confess to being a little bit overwhelmed at first. I even had some difficulty deciding where to begin our conversation. So I finally settled on beginning at the beginning. I'm so clever that way, don't you know? So, let's talk about you. Your full name is Cristobal Sanchez Lopez. Oh my God, what a great name. I'm already in love.
Thank you. But it's a very, very common name in Spain. Sánchez López is so common.
Is that right?
And Cristóbal is Christopher in English.
Right. Yes.
It's been very complicated at the beginning. The people, they used to call me Cristabel, and it's so terrible for me. It sounds like a feminine name. So I decided to change for Chris. That's more easy.
And
in my resume, they put me Sánchez as a middle name, and so I decided to call myself Chris López.
I see. That's cool. So, let's talk about you then. Your bio page reads, I was born in Barcelona, Spain in 1966. Early in my childhood, I used the white walls of my parents' house as a big canvas, and being white, it gave me an opportunity to personalize them. Noticing my interest in the arts and wary of seeing me drawing everywhere, my parents decided to send me to a children's art school at age 8, where I started to do my first oils on canvas and learned different techniques, making my first art sales to neighbors and relatives. Holy cow, you were a child prodigy.
No, I don't think so. I was just a kid, and it's very funny that part, because I've been asked many times, so how I start as an artist, at what age. So I don't remember when I started, but I remember that that was the first time that I noticed that I like art. I'm not aware at that time, but it was funny because we used to live in a very small town, and in a very old house, like those houses on the Tuscan Valley in Italy, a very stone house. And my parents, they moved to Barcelona when I was 3. So we moved to a brand new apartment, and they gave me my room, and my room was totally white. And I remember the first night I was like I have a mattress on the floor, and all those white walls, they were very painful for me. I said, oh my God, that's too white, that's too empty. And I remember very clear that not, it was, oh my God, that's white, that's too many white. And one day when I was alone and my parents were at work, I took my Crayolas and I painted the whole wall. But it was also, I grabbed a chair and I went almost onto the ceiling.
Wow.
Because it was too white, so I can't manage that white. So
yes.
Then
interesting.
I went outside my room, I painted the part of the rest of the house. I went to the stairs. We used to live in a fifth floor. So I went down painting the stairs and everything. So that was a big shock for my parents, no? Because we need to clean the whole stairs. And it's hard because they were the old Crayolas, no? So it was a terrible.
Right.
And I was, every day I was like scratching everything that I found. And one of my older sisters, they decided, okay, we need to take that key to any place that they,
right.
They allowed me to draw, and they take me to a kid's atelier or workshop for kids. And every day after the school, I used to go to that workshop. It was for almost 3-4 years. So they teach me there to paint with oil, with all the techniques.
Wow.
So I did my first oils at that age. I was 8-9 years old, and they were terrible. They were totally terrible. I had no idea. I just want to paint and drawing, but I had no idea. And
yes.
And my parents, they were very proud, and they put all those paintings on our house. And
so, do you think that art was trapped inside of you, and that it just needed
to
get out?
Yeah, I think so. I had the vocation, but I don't have the skills. I was terrible. I never.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then tell us more about after graduating high school. Then you went to university. Tell us about that.
Yeah, when I had to decide after high school, when I had to decide what I'm going to do with my life, so I was a trouble, no? So I don't want to be a doctor, I don't want to be a lawyer, I don't want to be many things. So the only thing that I wanted is to be an artist. I never believed in myself as an artist. Also, I never had that support from my family because they always thought that it's nothing worth it. So they always try to combine me to pursue a career, no? But I know that I want to do something artistic, no? And I don't believe at that time in myself as an artist. So I wanted to be a photographer. I think that was more easy than painting. So I decided to study photography. So I tell to my teacher that I would like to do that after high school. So they helped me to find that school that it was like an art school, like fine arts.
Yes, right.
Art school, and I went there. So and they don't have photography. So that was the only thing that they. So I said, okay. So I'm. And there is where I learned everything. So they teach me the basics, the artistic drawing, the sculpture, technical drawing, and all that.
Right. So you studied photography and set design for television and stage, and you dedicated the time between painting and graphic design. That's a lot of stuff. Did you find that they all go together?
Yeah, the thing when I started at that university, so we had to take 3 years of we call preparatory art.
Yes.
So have my training in artistic drawing, and it was there where I learned a lot. I am very good to master every technique. And then we had to choose a specialty. At that time, we have graphic design, we have interior design, and we have it was like ceramic.
Ah.
So I choose graphic design. At that time, we don't have the computer.
Uh-huh.
And then it was everything doing by hand with my rod print and so I studied graphic design because it was for me the most easy things to do, no? And then after that, so I went to photography school because that was the other part that I was missing, no?
But, yes.
And then I did many workshops. I did one from the stage decoration and. And a few ones, but that is when I start to do. I start as a graphic designer first.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, but you're an accomplished artist in many media, including oil and pastel and watercolor and acrylic. That's pretty amazing. Do you have a preference for one or the other?
I forgot to tell you also that after I complete the graphic design, I decide to study illustration at the same university.
Uh-huh.
So I studied another 3 years of illustration, and there is where I learned all the techniques.
Oh my goodness.
They teach us all the techniques, and I'm very happy of that. That's one of the things that I feel very proud of myself, that I can draw, I can paint in oil, in acrylic, and watercolor, and so I'm very proud of that. And I always say that a technique is like a language. So I feel that every technique is like a different language. So and it's very it's totally different. It's totally different one from another one. And every technique, every language is amazing. And when I'm doing a few watercolors, and I want to do a few acrylics, and when I'm doing a few acrylics, I want to do some drawing because I like all of them.
Right.
That's a technique that I learned. So and for me, when you speak a different language, it's like you can express yourself in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting for me. You know, see many ways. for me to express myself. So that's something that I feel very proud of, that I can work in different things.
That's fascinating. That is absolutely fascinating. So do you have a preference for one media over the other?
No.
is one more demanding than the other?
Well, I think I'm having customers that they like the drawings. I have customers that they like them. I think I'm trying to find like a very personal way to use them. I'm using the watercolor in a totally different way than the traditional watercolor. And some of my acrylics, they are with texture. I use stucco, so I'm very playful, and I like to play with them,
yes,
the techniques.
That's perfectly clear from your work. But it involves passion, it seems to me.
Yes.
Because anybody can, you know, be a dilettante in any of these art forms, but mastery is all about passion. Would you not agree?
I'm agreed. That has to be passion at the beginning, but it has to be work.
Good.
A lot of work. That's
yes.
not only passion.
Yes.
When I see a good artist and I see a good technique, I see behind that a lot of work.
Ah, that's so true.
If you do a watercolor for the first time, so that would be totally terrible. But after, yes, it's true. My first watercolor, they were all my first drawings and everything, they were terrible.
Yeah.
Until I've been working a lot and also
right.
Still learning, so
yes.
still every time that I'm doing, I think they are better than the previous ones. So it's
right.
a lot of work.
Yes.
So
I know that you said that you started out as a child with your art. When and how did the erotic begin to appear in your work?
That's a good question. Well, that's I think was by accident. When in one part of my life I moved to Puerto Rico, that was 15 years ago, and then at that time is when I decided to pursue my artistic career as a full-time artist.
Uh-huh.
And then I decided, okay, well, I need to start to paint. I wanted to start to paint and I decided, well, what I'm going to do. So I have a lot of photographs that I have from angels. I used to like them, go to the cemeteries and do
yes.
photos of the angels.
Yes.
And always I like the human figure. Always I like to work because it was very challenging for me. I think it's very difficult and still it's a challenge. And always I wanted like try to master that, you know, and always
the human
I was like.
Form. You're talking
yeah,
about. Yes, right.
And I start with faces, with a lot of angel faces, and it was by accident. I met one angel for a friend of mine, and she took to a gallery to frame it, and the man on the gallery liked it, so he asked for me, and I started to do a lot of angels, and then I decided I had my boyfriend at that time, and I decided I always wanted to do like some male nudes, but just for me, just like let me do my dream man, no, but only for me, no, only just for my for my enjoy. And I decided to do one for my boyfriend at that time, and I made a watercolor of a male nude for him. Anyway, it came very, very nice, and I decided to put online. I was like, I had some friends online at that time, and I decided to put that watercolor online, and I just started to receive a lot of emails, the people that they like it, and people they want more, and do you have more? Do you have a website? And it was like, oh wow, you're with only one drawing, so I have a lot of feedback, no?
Right.
And at that time, I have a gallery in Puerto Rico that they were located in a very gay area, and they used to sell my angels there. But one day they told me, "Securities, I have some customer asking for male moves. Would you do that?" You know, well, I can do that. I can.
Wow,
so
that's
I said,
amazing.
But they were like behind they were like on in the stock room. They were never on display at the gallery, but So we've been selling very good. So the owner of the gallery decided to put a few ones on the walls, and so that was the first time.
So where do you find your models, or are all of these marvelous images mostly coming from your imagination? And if they are, then I want to live inside your head.
No, they are. Well, I have a good imagination, but I need to work with photos. I need to have a reference.
Uh-huh.
I can do something by mind, but I like to do very real, very realistic. You know, so I need to. So all of them, they came from my photos. So uh-huh. I like to do the photos first, and then I'm choosing the one that I like.
So you photograph models first, and then you work from your photos. Yes.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
I see. And so, where do you find your models? Because you have the one thing that I really, really, really love about your work is that you have a variety of body types. I mean, you have very muscular men. You have men who are bigger, hairier, kind of bear-like. Older guys, younger guys. It's really wonderful because the thing that concerns me so much about other artists is that they focus in on one body type and, everybody else is left out.
I think every artist, we have our own taste. I think I've been in many exhibits and festivals, and people say, why don't you do young guys? Why don't you do fat men? That's not my taste. And usually I'm doing the kind of men that I like.
Yes.
I like
the
men
right.
with a nice body, with a muscular body. What I think for me is a nice body. But some people, they complain because I don't do fat men. I'm sorry, dude, that's not, I'm not having any problem with fat men, but that's not for me, that's not my taste, and some people, they ask me for a skinny guy, I don't like a skinny body, and I see other artists that they are focused on young guys, very, very skinny, very, and so I think that's my taste, and I want to be for. I have a gallery in Barcelona that they will ask me for another kind of men. And I said, well, that's the ones that I'm doing. So I don't care about the ones that you sell or not. But that I just want to do the ones that I'm enjoying to
right.
do. And
right. So we're going to talk more about that kind of stuff in a minute. Or a few minutes, anyhow. But I want to turn our attention briefly to talk about your blog, artinyourlifestyle.blogspot.com. What is this all about, and why did you feel the need to add a blog to your already beautiful gallery site?
Well, I think that blog has been a very amazing adventure. I always feel that was a very silly thing to do a blog, and I think myself, I don't have time to do that, I've been surfing in a very interesting blogs, and I'm always collecting a lot of photos of the art that I like, and I have a lot of art, and as an artist, I like a lot of other artists, and I said, it would be nice to share all that, and also I start to do like a marketing thing, I can promote my art.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
I can make my art more available to worldwide. And also, I would like to share the art that I like.
Yes.
And that's my blog is solely about the art that I like. So
yes.
It's
so
a lot of art out there, but it's only the art that I like, the art that is related with my
right.
artwork.
So you share a lot of art of other artists on your blog, and your blog is almost like a little mini art lesson for those of us who are less acquainted with the history of art. Is that your intention, to kind of help us understand, the history of art?
Well, that's very nice. That you tell that, so that's for me a very, very the compliment that the people, they can learn something from my blog. And where I study history of the art for 5 years, so I have a very well knowledge about art in it. And I learned, that's very important for me, I learned to appreciate art from the antiquity to the most contemporary.
Right.
So my blog, you can see art from the Italian master to young people that they are doing illustration right now.
Right.
All they are amazing for me. It's a lot out there, so I'm just focusing on the one that I like, the one that is related with the human form, mostly with the like kind of masculine type of man, and I've been finding a lot of very interesting artists, and it's been a very amazing adventure for me.
Interesting.
And I decided to do that because I have my website. I think I have my website already for 10 years.
Is that right?
And I can track the visits to my website, and I'm starting to see a lot of visits for different blogs that they never asked me permission to display my artwork.
Right.
And it's interesting because I've been having a lot of visitors from those blogs, and some of them, they take time to put the photos and make a comment on my artwork, so I feel very flattered.
Yeah. You know, I think that's how I first found you too, because I was visiting some photo blogs, and, you know, a number of the blogs, you know, there's really no words, it's just a collection of photos and images and artwork and stuff like that, and one of them, I think, identified you as the artist of the piece, and so I went and found you on your site, lopezgallery.com, and that's how I got to know you. So it's wonderful. I mean, sometimes it must be disconcerting for an artist to have his work, you know, posted without his authorization, but, you know, it's also bringing new people to notice you.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I feel very glad to, and I feel very grateful to all those blogs that, without any permission, but always in a very nice way,
yes,
so they
right.
put my artwork, and I'm doing the same. I'm doing every artist that I know that is good. So I like to put in my blog. I have some friends that they are artists, and I like to display their work. I like
right.
to help them
right.
to be there, like the order they help me to do it.
Yes.
And it's very interesting because I create like a very nice friendship with another artist around the world. I have
yes.
friends from Poland, from Spain, here from the United States, that all we are artists, and we are all there just trying to remove our work. And it's very interesting. It's a very, very nice adventure that I would recommend to anyone, that and any artist and anyone in
yes,
person.
I'll say. You know, it's kind of like cross-pollinization. I mean, that's, you know, it's this wonderful flow of ideas, or at least in this instance, a flow of images. I always am disappointed when I'm visiting a blog and the blogger does not put the name of the artist. Like, if I come across a piece of work that I really, really love, and I find it on some relatively anonymous blog, it's really disappointing when I can't find who that artist is. It's so disappointing because I would like to make his or her
yeah.
acquaintance.
Well, sometimes you don't find the name. I have like a big folder of art that I like, but I don't see the name. And I like to give credit
yes,
to that
right,
artist.
Yes, exactly.
That's so. I would like to make like a comment from to every artist, but my English is not so good too. I said, well, let me do like I use a visual blog, and if, I'm trying every time to put their websites or their blogs in order that the people they can go there and they can find the information by themselves. But yes, I would like to do credit to every artist that I found because they deserve that.
Right. I totally agree. And look at, I'm just looking at my watch and I see that our time is up for today, but I would really, really love to talk more about your work with you. Is it possible for you to come back next week?
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
every time.
Yes, excellent. But before we go, would you give us your website address and walk us around a little bit and tell us where we can buy your work?
Okay, yes, my website is lopezgallery.com. And I've been lately trying to move my art by myself. I've been in galleries before, so now I want to do everything by myself. I've been creating a lot of customers in the last year, so I'm very glad to have a big mailing list that I'm actually right now, so I'm selling only my originals through my mailing list and through my website. So I'm doing my own printing, so that's I'm doing print on canvas and watercolor paper from artwork, but that's the thing that the artwork that I'm selling in galleries. But my originals are only available through my website, directly to me.
Right. So we can join a mailing list on your site?
Yes, at the beginning. There is a mailing list every month. I'm sending a mailing list with every new artwork. Mostly of them, they sell from that newsletter.
Ah.
And all the new artwork is post the same day that I'm finished everything, and I like to see my website. So that's the best place to be updated about my artwork.
Good. Well, I know I'm going to join your newsletter, for sure, your newsletter mailing list. So until we speak again next week, we will be visiting you in cyberspace. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you.
What a great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my conversation with Chris Lopez and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself, or one of the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you better call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my sex toy review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. And look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one or more of my sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I'm doing now. Each podcast has its own posting on my site, along with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product or service. The beauty part of this unique opportunity is that once a sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping to disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For further information, contact me through my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.